invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 12. I want to read a few verses, beginning with verse 4. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 it tells us, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Abraham is one of the witnesses to you and to me to encourage us to do what? To lay aside sins that would discourage us, defeat us, hinder us in doing God's will, and running with patience the race that is set before us. We need to endure. When we think about Abraham, we see Abraham coming out of the Ur of the Chaldees and stopping in Haran. Abraham could have gone back to the Ur of the Chaldees when his father died. There are some who believe that Terah had lived in Haran before he lived in the Ur of the Chaldees, and so Terah is just going back home because of some archaeological evidence that he was there. Now that's not biblical, but anyway, the point I'm trying to make is this: Abraham could have gone back home when his father died. He could have quit. But Abraham didn't quit. He had commitment to God. God had appeared unto him, and as far as I know, God did not make any further contacts with Abraham until Abraham did what God wanted him to do. And often in our own life, we will have God active in our hearts and minds and thoughts and lives, and then God will back away for a while to see what we're going to do. And He may wait at times for us to go or to do what He has asked us to do before He begins to communicate with us again, where we at least think that we are experiencing His communication. Now, His means of communication today is through the Word of God. He is not communicating with us like He did with Abraham, so don't get your hopes up, okay? The Word of God is God's means of communication today. But Abraham is a witness to us to lay aside the weights and the sin. There's a definite article, the, before the word sin in this verse. And that is a reference to the sin of lawlessness. Whenever you find the definite article before the word sin, and it's singular in number, it is a reference to lawlessness. That is, we can do our own thing. We can go our own way. And that can beset us. And we need to be run with patience. First thing that we have been studying about is separation. God, remember, God called Abraham to separate himself from his family. Family can be a hindrance in doing the Lord's work. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we see that we are to come out from among them and be separated, saith the Lord. We're to separate ourselves from those that would cause us to stop being faithful to the Lord and living by faith or pleasing Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord. This is what Abraham was in the process of doing. He didn't do it all at once. I think this is an encouragement to all of us. Abraham lived by faith, but he didn't do it all at once. When he got down into Egypt, he and Sarah had a little plan. And the little plan was, we're going to tell a little half-truth or a white lie or just plain lie about our relationship. He says, you're my sister. And in truth, she was. She was her half-sister. This was something that Abraham carried with him from the Ur of the Chaldees, and it got him in trouble twice. Abraham grew in faith, and we need to do the same thing. And we need to realize the fact that we are not going to be perfect right off the bat. We're not going to be powerhouses in faith. You know, sometimes we feel like that we're just failing miserably, and we're really not doing, you know, we're not living like God wants us to live. Let me say this, God gives us time to change. He gives us time to grow. And that's one of the things that we need to understand and see as we study the life of Abraham. I'm amazed as I study the life of Abraham. It's the one who catches Abraham that gets called on the carpet. Pharaoh was called on the carpet because he took Sarah to be his wife. And Pharaoh says, you know, I see this good-looking woman and I think I'll have her. And the Lord says, you better watch out. But he didn't jump on Abraham. Have you ever noticed that? He didn't jump on Abraham. And in the case of Abimelech, God jumped on Abimelech and he says, you better watch out with that woman you've got in your palace. But he didn't jump on Abraham. Well, that's an interesting observation. So the Lord was helping Abraham to grow. In Luke chapter 14, we read, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life, also he cannot be my disciple. This is something that God asked Abraham to do. He wanted Abraham to be committed to him regardless of the circumstances that would be created because of it. When you separate yourself unto the Lord, it doesn't mean that you separate yourself necessarily from your family, but in reality or in practice, you put the Lord first. That's what's important. He comes first in your life. And we are reminded again that sometimes it's a lonely life in walking with the Lord. The Lord calls Abraham alone. And we too may be alone. Now, Abraham was committed to doing the Lord's will. We read in verse 4 that, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. So he departed, and the word departed is an interesting word. It means to break away or to escape. Actually, Abraham had been in bondage, basically under Terah, his father. And so we find Abraham breaking away out of Haran. In fact, Acts 7:4 tells us, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land. Abraham left and went into the land, good land. In Acts 27:40, and when they had taken up the anchor, they committed themselves unto the sea. I brought this verse in for this reason. You know what Abraham did? He pulled up anchor and he committed himself unto the Lord's will. He didn't know where he was going or where he would get his food. He just simply pulled up the anchor and he set out where God wanted him to go. They committed themselves. This is Paul, and they're close to Malta, and the storm is churning, and they just pulled up the anchor and they just committed themselves and let the sea take them. He said, Lord, wherever you want to take me, that's where I'm going to go. And the reason he could do that is because of Romans 4:20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Abraham believed God, meant what he said. Yet, I don't understand why Abraham did this, but in Genesis chapter 12 and in verse 13, he says, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. He was afraid he was going to be killed by the Egyptians. And he didn't have any reason to be afraid. Why? Because God was his God. And yet Abraham had certain fears, and they were unwarranted fears. We have fears as well, and God knows that. And they're unwarranted fears. And yet God does not call Abraham on the carpet because of that. Isn't that neat? The Lord understands us. And he appreciates the fact that there are times when we just don't believe what he tells us. But he says, you will. Now just don't quit. You will believe what I'm telling you, and it will come to pass like I said. So, Abraham did not stagger at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. We need to be confident like Paul. Philippians 1:6, Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We need that kind of confidence. God began a good work in Abraham. Let me tell you, God would complete that work. And we know of that in Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Let me tell you, Abraham will be in that city. And we can be confident that he that has begun a good work in us will perform it unto the day of Christ Jesus. Now, faith moved Abraham out. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Faith causes us to move. Faith is not stagnant. I think that we need to understand that. Faith causes us to move. And we see this in the life of Abraham. By faith, when he was called to go out, he obeyed and he went out. So we need to realize that we don't need to sit. We need to move. Abraham was one who lived in a tent. It was easy to move that tent. It's when he moved into places where they had facilities, housing, you know, like in Egypt. I'm sure that Abraham didn't live in a tent in Egypt. When we start setting our roots down, that's when we can get ourselves in trouble. Abraham was a man who had a tent and he built altars. And you could follow Abraham through the land of Canaan by what? His altars. And his neighbors saw what he was doing. His neighbors saw Abraham worshiping his God. He was not ashamed of his God. So, now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee unto a land that I will show thee. So Abraham went out in obedience. In Genesis 12, verses 6 through 8, it says, Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Shechem. Or Sitkim is the way it is in verse 6. But that's the same place as Shechem. Shechem was one of the cities of refuge. Shechem was the place where Joseph's bones was buried. And under the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. Let me tell you that when God calls us to do His will or to be in a place, you know what? Satan is going to have his place there too. The Canaanite is the enemy. When Abraham went into the land of Canaan, the enemy was there. And we can expect the same thing. We're going to have opposition in doing the will of the Lord. Now, what is the significance of these places where Abraham stopped to build an altar? The word Sichem or Shechem means shoulder. And the word Bori means teacher. So here we find Abraham in a place that means shoulder in the plain or grove of oaks of Moreh. And the significance of that is this. In Zechariah 7:11, it says, they refused to hearken, that is, to the law, and the pull pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. You know what Abraham was doing in Shechem in the plain of Moreh? He was submitting himself to his teacher. The shoulder has to do with bearing the burden of learning. Because the children of Israel pulled a shoulder away from the Word of God, the law, refusing to learn or respond to the law. Nehemiah 9, verse 29, and testified against them, that thou mightest bring them again unto thy law. Yet they dealt proudly and hearkened not unto thy commandments, but sinned against thy judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them, and withdrew the shoulder and hardened their neck and would not hear. Abraham was submitting his shoulders to the Lord. He was learning. He was in the place where he could learn. That's what can happen when we're in the will of the Lord. We can learn. Did Abraham learn anything when he got there? He sure did. First of all that God told Abraham when he called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, he says, I want to show you a piece of property. I want to show you some geography. But when you get down into verse 7, it says, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. That's additional information. He says, I just want to show you a piece of property out here. When Abraham got to where God wanted him, he says, look, I'm not even going to show you this piece of property. I'm going to give it to you. How marvelous it is. Can you imagine the excitement that it would be if somebody says, hey, I want to show you a new house. And he says, you got to travel 1,000 miles to see it. And you would say, you know, you might stand on one foot a while and the other foot a while, and then you say, well, all right. And so you go, and when you get there, it's beautiful. And he says, I just want to give this to you. Well, that's what God said to Abraham. He says, first of all, I just want to show it to you. And Abraham submitted and obeyed and going to see it. And then when he got there, he gave him additional information. He says, I'm going to give it to you and to your seed. That's what you see here in verse 7. And there was quite a time period between when the Lord appeared unto Abraham in the Ur of the Chaldees and when he appeared to him in the land. We don't have any scripture to help us to understand or see where God appeared to Abraham until he got into the land. That was the second time. Proverbs 28:9 says, he that turneth away his ear from the hearing of the law, even his prayer should be abomination. Is it important to listen to the Word of God? Absolutely. If our ears are not bent on hearing the law or hearing the Word of God, that hinders our prayer life. It's important to be in the Word. If you resist the Word when you want to pray and get something from God, your prayers are not going to be well accepted or well received. Especially when you think of it being in terms of an abomination. So, I just wanted to put that in there because it's important for us to submit our hearts, our ears, our thoughts unto receiving the Word. Now, we mentioned the fact that the Canaanite was in the land, and immediately the Lord brought to mind Psalms 23:5, when it says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of what? My enemies. The Lord provided his needs in the land of Canaan. Did you know that you're in the presence of your enemies 24 hours a day? But you know, the Lord said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, just 15 minutes a day. No. The Lord will never leave you nor forsake you, and neither will your enemies. They will always be there. But the Lord is going to provide your needs. It provides fellowship. That's one thing. What do you get when you sit around the table? You get fellowship. Now, the tables, let me just say this, the enemies are not invited to the table, okay? But when you sit around the table, you have fellowship. What is another thing you get at the table? You get nourishment. And what does nourishment provide for us? Spiritual strength. For what reason? To combat our enemies. The enemies can see what the Lord is serving. And we need to appropriate what God is providing for us to defeat our enemies. God tests us in order to build our faith and bring out the best in us, but the devil tempts us in order to destroy our faith and bring out the worst in us. That's a quote from Warren Wiersbe. His thoughts toward us are thoughts of what? Peace. His thoughts toward us is a plan and a purpose that he will bring to fruition, to completion. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, we see some of the tests that people experienced. Hebrews 11, verse 36. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. These people were pilgrims. They were looking for something better. And we need to do the same thing. I'm thankful that I'm not having to live in a cave or under a bridge here in Minnesota. I believe if I had to live under a bridge and a cardboard box up here, I believe I'd find a warmer climate. But the point I'm making here is this. How do I know where the Lord wants me to be and what my living conditions are going to be like? We do experience mockings. People mock us. We are tempted. We do wander around a bit. There are times when we are destitute. We don't have everything. We don't have the money that we need sometimes, or we think we need sometimes. What did they get out of this? They got a good report. They had a good report that they were faithful to the Lord. Now, we read already in Genesis 12:7 that the Lord appeared again unto Abraham, and there he built an altar unto the Lord that appeared unto him. He moved from that place in Shechem between two cities. In verse 8 it says, and he moved from thence into a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And he built there, or he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Did the Lord appear to him there? Doesn't say he did. Did you know that there are times when we will have our devotions, or we will be in a place where we are worshiping the Lord, and we may not experience His response to us? Have you ever had any dry devotions? If you've had devotions at all, you've experienced, well, I didn't get a thing out of what I read. You ever experienced that? I have. I do that. And you know what? There are times when I say, when I am on shouting grounds. But most of the time, it's not quite that way. And one of the things in studying the life of Abraham, we need to understand that. We're not going to be on shouting grounds every time we approach the Lord in prayer and the Word of God. Our expectations sometimes of God are not realistic. And this has helped us to be more realistic about our expectations from God. But you know what? I believe that God knew what Abraham was doing. And he saw that Abraham was faithful in building altars to him and worshiping him. Have you ever wondered why the Lord put in the compass on where Abraham had set his tent up? Why in the world would the Lord say, here's on the east and here's on the west? And in fact, it's east of Bethel and Hai is on the west. Why did he put all that in there? Well, he knows the way we need to move is west. Have you ever heard that? We need to move west. remember where the Lord set the cherubim in the garden? He set the cherubim in the east of the Garden of Eden. So, if Adam and Eve were to meet the Lord at the door of the Garden of Eden, which way did they have to travel? West. West is always the way to God. And it's consistent throughout the Word of God. When Jesus Christ comes again, and He touches down on Mount Olivet, and He goes through the Eastern Gate, which way will He be moving? West. He'll be moving west into Jerusalem. Right now the gate has been closed. You can't go through the Eastern Gate. In fact, the Arabs put a graveyard in front of it to make sure He won't go through there. Well, let me tell you, the Lord's going to go through that Eastern Gate when He returns, and He's going to be moving west to do it. The word Bethel means the house of God. Beth means house, and El is God. Bethel is the house of God. And it was east of Abraham. So for Abraham to move into the house of God, which way did he have to travel? West. You know what the word high means? It means ruin. And to have our lives ruined, all we have to do is move away from the house of God. To move away from the Lord. To move east. Did you know that we are living between the blessing of God and the ruin of our life? And we need to make choices. Did you know that Hai is the same city that the children of Israel were defeated in the conquest of the land of Canaan under Joshua? Hai is the same city as Ai. Ai defeated the children of Israel. And if you move into the city of ruin, you're going to be defeated. We need to be at Bethel, the house of God. I don't know whether you notice this or not, but throughout this passage of Scripture in Genesis 12, we see Abraham is moving. In verse 9 of chapter 12, it says, Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. Abraham was moving. It's easier to steer a car that's moving than one that's sitting still. It's easier to turn the steering wheel. And Abraham was a stranger. He was a sojourner. He was a pilgrim. And they move. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 4 through 9, we see these words. Abraham departed. He departed out of Haran. Abraham took Sarah his wife, and they went forth into the land. And Abraham passed through. There built an altar unto the Lord. And he removed from thence and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. Abraham journeyed, going on still. Abraham was growing in grace and in the knowledge of Him. Hebrews tells us, let us go on to perfection or maturity. That means movement. We need to be changing in our spiritual life. We need to be growing in our walk with the Lord. Romans 1:17 tells us that we're to move from faith to faith. It's a growing process. From faith to faith. From strength to strength. Psalms 84:7. John 1:16. We need grace for grace. Grace is something God gives us when we use it. He's not going to just give us grace for fun. It's grace for grace used. Wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? It's by faith that we please God. And if we are a garment in our walk with the Lord, in our spiritual growth, our faith is not pleasing Him. It's dead. It's not fruitful. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. This is not talking about salvation. This is talking about pleasing the Lord. Abraham was learning how to please the Lord, and Abraham was growing. And the Lord was opening up Himself and His plans and His purposes to Abraham. And we'll see that more as we go along
in chapter 13. What a witness we have in Abraham. It encourages me, and I hope it encourages you as we study this wonderful witness that the Lord has for us in these last days. And truly, we need that witness for us.